Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Children, as you see, you are dismissed. Amen. Hallelujah. My wife was like, I just got a few kids today. Praise the Lord. Anyway, I'm just excited about what God is doing. I'm just excited that we can, like I said, we can enter into the presence of God. Amen. And as I was entering in, even this morning, I was praying, God, what do you really want me to talk about? And the funny thing is, God will use the stuff you went through that week. He'll tie it into what he wants you to talk about. I was talking with Tamron, Michael, and Chris. We got together and we prayed on Friday just to pray for one another, just different things that were going on in each other's lives. And one of the things came up about us being fathers wanting the best for our kids. And sometimes it's not only that we want the best, but we try to push them nicely to achieve everything God has for them. And when it doesn't happen, we kind of get like, man, I don't know what to do. So we were praying, but giving each other counsel, like, try this, you know, try that. And, you know, as I was praying, God was like, I want what's best for you. And many times we try to do that for our kids because we can see it in the natural. Man, my kid will be great at, you know, my Marquise, he loves to build. If he can live with Michael, he probably would, because he loves to touch cars and all kind of stuff. So I noticed that, right? So it's like, okay, I gotta keep note of that in my mind. But God knows and he wants what is best for us. And as I was praying, he was saying that I want what's best for you. And God, as we know in the word of God, it talks about him being the great father. Amen. He's the great father. But a lot of times people, how many of you have noticed that when people give their life to God, some of them are hesitant because they're like, I got to give up my life, but I got to give up what I want. But God wants and knows what is best for you. Amen. Heavenly Father, I pray to God that as we open up your word, as we share, God, what you put in my spirit, dear God, that this would impact, this would challenge, this would correct our thinking, oh God. We pray to God that your word would be sharp, dear God, as any two-edged sword, dear God, dividing everything, dear God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray, dear God, that we would know that you want what is best for us. In Jesus' name, amen. As I said, many, even in Christ, after they've given their life to Christ, they're still hesitant about surrendering everything to God because they feel like they will miss out. And nobody wants to miss out, right? Have you ever missed out on something in life? Maybe when we were kids, they were handing out popsicles and all the popsicles were gone when you got there. And it's like, dang, I missed out, right? Or, you know, just little things where you don't want to be that person that misses out. But guess what? God has something better. I remember Pastor Nate, he always shared this story about a little girl that was given beads when she was a girl. And she had it for 18 years and she cherished those beads. She was like, my dad gave me these beads. And everywhere she went, look, these are the beads. And I understand it because my girls, if I give them something, they're like, look at this, dad, look at this, right? But when she turned 18, the father told her to give her the beads. And she was like, no, you gave these to me. Why are you going to take this from me? And she had a huge struggle. And after a while, she gave it to her dad. And her dad said, here, I have something better for you. And he gave her pearls. Right? And when she got those pearls, of course, she was more excited because it had more value. Right? But that's what God wants to do to us if we truly surrender. Amen. I'm going to go to my feature scripture of the day. It's in John chapter 10. verse 7 through 21. One thing that we have to remember is that God has come to give us abundant life. Amen. Not just any life, but abundant life. And I believe, and I totally believe that this is not just physical. This is not just spiritual. This is not just financial. This is not just health. This is all encompassed. He wants to give you abundant life. Amen. Now, I don't want people to take this and be like, well, I was in church and I heard that God wants to give me abundant life. My abundant life would be like this. See, that's your abundant life. When you try to put it together. God, if I could just have the best life, right, I would be cool. I was listening to a podcast, and there's this comedian. He came out with a song called I'm Living the Best Life or something like that. And he's talking about being high and all kind of stuff. And, you know, it's just like, man, that's the best life for you. I mean, he's like, I'm always high. And he's just excited about it because he's lost. He doesn't understand that that's not abundant life, right? That's a fantasy life, right? Because now you're cloudy, literally. You're clouded. Your mind's clouded. But God has come to give us abundant life. Amen. And that's John chapter, you got it, Mike? Chapter 10, verse 7. I'm going to grab my Bible, but go ahead and roll it up there, please. Hallelujah. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Amen. All who ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Okay, so we're talking about the abundant life. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, somebody say, he will be saved. Say it again. He will be saved. And will go in and out and find pasture. Now, when I think about pasture, what do you think about? That's somewhere where you can stay. That's somewhere where you are taken care of. We are the Bible says that we are the sheep of his pasture. Amen. Once we've received Christ, we are his sheep and we belong to his pasture. And what it talks about briefly, even before that, is he's the shepherd. He's taking care of us. Amen. So even with that, no matter what you are going through, even now, God is saying, I can take care of you. In the storm, in the good times, even in the bad times, God is saying, I am the good shepherd. Come to my pasture. Amen. The good thing about God's pasture is I don't believe he runs out of grass. I mean, a sheep just keeps eating grass, right? And they're satisfied. Have you ever been around sheep and they're just eating and they don't need anything else? Right? They're just eating the grass and walking around. They're satisfied. What that tells me is we should be satisfied in the things that God gives. Amen? Verse 10. The thief. Somebody say the thief. The thief. And it actually said earlier, the robber. He does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. And Jesus said this out of his own mouth, I have come that they might have life and they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. Now let's talk about a hireling. I remember it's kind of funny. There was a guy that did security down the street from my house at a little hospital clinic, and I would talk to him every now and then. Would stop me. Hey, how you doing? He's like, hey, look, man, if something go down, I'm out of here. Like, I ain't protecting nobody, right? And I was cracking up because it's funny, but you know, sometimes that's true. It's fight or flight at times, right? Like, that looks, I mean, because, you know, they got one gun. And, you know, you never know what the other people got. He's like, I'm not going to give my life for this clinic or the people in it, right? Because he was a hired hand. Amen? And that's true. There are some things that we, even as believers, we're not going to risk our lives for, because we're like, I don't think that's that necessary. But Jesus, and I taught my kids this week, I said, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still enemies of God, right? Because that's what a sinner is. When you are walking in sin, you are an enemy of God. When you are a friend of the world, you are in enmity with God, which means you are enemy of God, right? But while we were still sinners, because he's a good shepherd and he wants what's best for you, he died for you. He laid his life down because he wasn't a hireling. Says, I am the good shepherd in verse 14, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and they will be one flock, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. Okay, now, my dad said that when he was praying earlier. And it's funny how that all just the word of God and confirmation happens. When you give your life to God, when you sacrifice your life to God, he gives you a better life. Amen. Can I get some people that have been saved for a while to just attest to, man, when I gave my life to God, I thought I was living good, right? I had my plans. I had everything mapped out. I had my clothes. I had all that stuff. But I know people that have all that stuff and they're not really satisfied with that stuff. That's just, I mean, you're excited when people tell you, oh, man, that looks dope. You see that outfit? Oh, that's fresh. That's nice, right? Your clothes look awesome. Your car is, man, we love to get that praise, but that praise doesn't last. And that's where the problem happens when you're by yourself. You're like, man, was I fresh enough? Right? You question yourself and wonder, was I good enough? That's because your life is not an abundant life until you give it to God. And the good thing is, God gives you affirmation. And he says, son, that was great. When you're by yourself, he's the one, when you begin to pray and you speak to him, he's the one that encourages you. He's the one that says, man, there's purpose in your life. And I want to give you the best. Tell your neighbor, God wants to give you the best. Tell your neighbor like you mean it, God wants to give you the best.
We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon.
Verse 17, it says, therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me. And this is clarity about Jesus. He wasn't, he didn't have to do it, right? He chose to do it. Because even in the scripture, it talks about when Peter and, you know, we all know about Peter, when the people came in the garden to try to take Jesus, you know, Peter's a soldier. So he took the sword out, chopped dude's ear off, and was like, who else wants it? Right? But when he did that, Jesus said, put your sword away. Do you understand that I can call a legion of angels down right now, and they can handle this? But he said, that's not what I'm here for. I am surrendering my life for us. He surrendered his life for us so that we can be saved. says, no one takes it from me, in verse 18, but I lay it down of myself. I have all power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Now, the thing that I like about that, and I'm going to finish the rest of that through verse 21, but the thing that I like about that is he said, I received these instructions or these plans from my Father. So Jesus understood that God is a good God, even despite the fact that he had to go to the cross. Now, some people might be like, well, Jesus was God. He wasn't worried. When he was in the garden praying, he was like, God, can we do this another way? That was the human side of him saying, OK, God, I love you so much, God. I want to do your will. But I've seen some people get hung on the cross before. It don't look too good. Right. There was pain. There was pain involved. But he said, despite that, because God gave me these instructions, I know he knows what's best. Jesus even had to trust his Father in this situation. It says, therefore, there was a division again among the Jews because of these sayings. And many of them said, he has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the blind eyes of the blind? I'm sorry. So now you see people are confused because they're like, oh, Jesus, that's a little interesting what you're saying there, because obviously they didn't have scripture to kind of back up what we have now. Right. Many people that were around Jesus, they did not understand the sayings of Jesus because he was the one that was sent. Now, even the Pharisees, he talked to them, like when Jesus talked to the Pharisees, he said, don't you know what the scripture says about me? It says it right here. You're the ones that study the scriptures, but you're missing the fact that I'm here. So there were some people that would look through the scriptures and see that Jesus is coming. But we have to understand that God wants the best life for us. Jesus was sent to give us the best life. And it starts with the surrendering that we must do. Amen. Our children, taking it back to the thing that I was saying, our children, even us as fathers, we have to surrender to get our children in a better place. Amen. We have to surrender to get our children in a better place. There's going to be a lot of things now. It's a lot easier to. What is the word I want to say? It's a lot easier to just relax and let your kids do what they want to do. But when you really love your kids, you're going to set things up for your children. The Bible says that a good father doesn't only set up good things for his kids, but for his grandkids. Amen. And I thank God for my dad being in my life, because he does a lot of stuff for his grandkids. Amen. Thank God for that call. I can say, hey, Dad, can you pick him up? Yes. Praise the Lord. But what I am saying is this. We must surrender to get the best from God. We must surrender our plans to get the plans of God. And guess what? I was reading a devotion this week, and I'm a share that with you guys a little bit in just a second. But it was just talking about the power of when you surrender your plans to God and you receive his plans, it actually fulfills your life. You're excited because you're like, man, OK, this is God gives you a plan and he understands what it is just for you. And when you understand that, you're satisfied because that's really what you were created for. See, we grow up and, you know, what's the thing people ask us? Hey, what do you want to be when you get older? And, you know, when we're kids, I want to be a police officer. I want to be a fireman. You know, I want to be a doctor. I want to be whatever it is. But guess what? God already has the exact thing that he created you for. And it's funny, we don't even in the church, we don't ask our children, what has God created you to do? We don't ask that question. We should start asking, what has God created you for? Even if they don't know the answer, guess what? They'll think about it. And what God does, he'll start sharing that with you as the father, and you can start relaying that to your children. Amen? We're going to go to 2 Thessalonians 2, 13 through 17. 2 Thessalonians 2, 13 through 17. And we're still talking about God wanting the best for us. It says in verse 13, but we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what that says is there was a lot of things God set in place to get you where you are right now, where you can accept his gospel, where you can accept it. The Bible talks about the Holy Spirit must draw men unto him. Amen. None of us woke up in the morning one day and was like, I just want to give my life to God. You know, we didn't just have a lights go off in our head. Oh, I should give my life to God. What happened was the Spirit was tapping you and saying, hey, you need to surrender your life. I was talking to my younger brother, Chris, this week, and he was like, man, there's people all around me trying to get me to church. And, you know, my brother, Chris, he's still trying to find his way, and he will find it. Amen. Because when you raise up a child in the way, they won't depart when they get older. Amen. Got to believe the word. So he's like, man, there's this guy at my job, and he want to open the Bible up. And, you know, and I'm like, and you, Marquise, you're sending me these streaming sermons on Facebook everywhere I go. I'm like, well, you know, it's about time, Chris. Right? Because God is poking him. I was talking to my wife. I was like, what's this Facebook poke thing for? Can they stop doing that? But God is poking you like, hey, I have a plan for your life. And while you're trying to run yourself rugged to figure out what the plan is, I already have it for you. Trust me. Trust that I have what is best for you. Amen. So verse 15 says, therefore, brothers and sisters, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by the word or our epistle, which is another word for the letters that they wrote. When I was in school, I said epistles, were they the wives of the apostles? I don't know. You know, it was a little joke that I had, but it's on a wall at Seattle Christian, too. They like that one so much. Anyway, it says, now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father who has loved us, he loves us and has given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace. May he comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. The power of God is not only will he give you abundant life, but he will establish you with the word and the work that you are called to do. That's the good thing about God. He doesn't just say, hey, Pastor Darrell, I want you to be a pastor, and then that's it. You don't hear another word from him, right? Because I'm going to just say this. When you are sharing the word of God, you have to constantly be in contact with God so you can hear what he is saying to you. Not only to you, but to his people, right? That's why when people come to church, they hear something. They're like, man, I needed to hear that. Why? Because we were in tune with God, waiting on God to say something. Right? Well, pastors that are doing the right thing, that's what they do. Right? You can't watch TV and say, man, I'm going to preach that same sermon that dude was preaching because, man, that sounded good. And I hope it. Nah, it don't work like that. Right? You might get a little bit of confirmation from that, but you do not want to be a copycat preacher. Right? But God, he says, he will comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Amen. God wants the best for us. I'm going to close with this. And it was from my devotional this week. It said, delight yourself in the Lord. And it's in Psalms 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Amen. That's a scripture that I pray over myself that I would delight, not just for the desires part, but that I would delight myself in God. Amen? Because, I mean, it's easy to say, God, okay, if I'm in you, I get everything I want. Right? But it says delight. That means everything about God I want to know about. I got to be there where he's at. That's Psalms 37:4. But it says, Father always has something bigger and better in mind if you walk towards what he loves. Even if that means walking away from what you think you love. Here's a promise. You'll discover that you love what he loves far more than you love what you walked away from. Father gives you the desires of your heart as you delight yourself in him. And sometimes that means he changes the desires of your heart to line up with his. So delight yourself in him because he delights himself in you. And be willing to let go of the good things for the best things that he has planned for you. And then it had a little thing at the end. It says, I set my heart to delight in you. Change my heart's desires to match your heart's desires. Give me the desires of your heart so that you can give me the desires of my heart. I surrender to your perfect will in my life. And as I was praying, I was like, it's just funny how the more you are around God's word, the more you just see him continuing to show you the plans that he has. God has great plans for us. But it is going to cause us to surrender to him. The Bible says in Isaiah, his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. But we have to say, God, I surrender to your ways. I'm thinking like this, God, but I need to ask you, do you agree with what I'm thinking right now? Right? And any thought that is not like you, God, it needs to be removed. And when you do that, you will get to a place where you can say, okay, God, I'm free of my own thoughts. I'm ready for you to download into me. I'm ready to hear what you have to say because I know that you want what's best for me. Amen? God wants what's best for us. Heavenly Father, I pray to God that as easy as it is to say, that we would get ourselves to a place where we really surrender and say, God, we want what you have for us. God, we don't want to move in our own direction. We don't want to try to figure things out on our own. God, we need you. As we sang today, God, we need you to direct us. We need you to lead us. We need your presence, oh God. So I pray to God that you would keep us. Speak to us. Show us all that you've called us to be, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. If that was impactful to you, go ahead and slip up your hand. Amen. That's what we do here. We just say, hey, man, it was impactful. That was something that I needed to hear. Now we try to apply it. My dad was talking about that yesterday. Don't just read the word, study the word, and then apply the word. Amen. All right. Well, we're excited that you were able to come here at New Creation Christian Center. We have refreshments in the over there, and in the what do they call that right now? The foyer. I couldn't remember the word. We have refreshments in the foyer. Make sure you greet somebody. Tell them.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.